Okay, one more time, hopefully. Exodus chapter 16. Christ, our manna. He's the manna. Never forget this. The bread from God, the bread of God, is He that came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Those are His words. And this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. That's what Moses told the people of Israel. Now, he's already talked about giving the instructions, giving the commandment to gather. And then those that gathered assembled together and meted it out. What I want to start here with now is verse 19. I'll try and move quickly this morning. And Moses said, "Let no man leave of it till the morning, notwithstanding they hearkened not to Moses, unto Moses. But some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up unto the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today. For today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day." I'm going to stop right there. Verse 19, Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. We are to use today what we gather today. That's the point here. We are to eat today for nourishment. And God provides every day, gather every morning. He provides, and we are to consume it. We are to eat it. We are to gather. We are to use today what we gather today. Why? Well, first reason, he doesn't promise us tomorrow. We're not promised any tomorrow. Today is the only day we have. And how much of today, that's up to him also. But I got to thinking, you know why Moses had to say this, right? We need instruction. Because there's a part of us that doesn't like and doesn't want instruction. We are rebellious by nature. It's in us, and it's going to come out. It will come out. You are to use today what God gave you today. Don't leave it till the morning. We are not to put off till tomorrow the things of Christ. God gave you today. Worship God today. Amen. If God gave you today, believe Christ today. If ye continue, then are ye my disciples indeed. Every single day. And we don't leave anything for tomorrow. I will put off stuff, but I don't want to put off Christ. They have a special word for people like me. It's called procrastinator. And yeah, I do. I should have paid my bills 4 days ago, but I haven't yet. That's not the way we're to treat Christ. The things of the world, okay. Well, maybe not even then. But the things of Christ, not. Don't do it. And Moses gives a specific instruction here. Don't leave it till the morning. Why? Because he needed to. The next verse tells us why. Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto Moses. But some of them left it unto the morning, and it bred worms, and it stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Now the children were commanded, and they obeyed, gathering. And then they disobeyed, leaving it overnight. That's the way we are. I said it, we're rebellious by nature. That's the way we are. We can obey God one moment and decry Him the next. Remember where we are here in this wilderness, though. We're here, but this is after the blood has been shed. This is after they have been passed over. This is after they have seen the salvation of the Lord, and yet they still disobey. They pass through the Red Sea, come through the other side. And they obey and they disobey in the very same day. Guess what? We're no different. We never have been. Moses told us the reason for the disobedience. He told us, notwithstanding, they hearkened not. Now this is not just heard. Hearkened is the word. Hearkened not. Hearkened in Hebrew is defined to hear intelligently. You're using your reason. You're using your mind to hear intelligently. Now, at this word, where we have it in English, hearken not, it's one Greek word. There's a little suffix at the end of it. And that little suffix means certainly not. And I thought, oh, they certainly not heard intelligently what Moses said. So, what's the definition of certainly not hearing intelligently? Us. It's man. Man is a rebellious creature even with a new nature. There's still the old nature. The flesh hasn't gone anywhere. And it's the spirit that profits. The flesh profits nothing. There is this rebelliousness in man. Paul said in Romans 7, even when I would do good, evil is present in me. It's there. It's there. But here's the point. Some of them left it unto the morning, and it bred worms and it stank. Jesus Christ never gave anyone instructions to be a collector only. You understand? They've got television shows on TV right now, hoarders. These people can't throw anything away, but they can't use it either. We are to gather the manna and we are to use it today. We are to learn of Christ and to learn today. You can't store up Christ and try and leave it for tomorrow. You can't store up Christ and put him on a shelf. You can't put him in the closet. You can't put him in the refrigerator or the freezer. What's it say? It bred worms and it stank. Now, I'm not saying that Christ ever stinks or that Christ breeds worms. But what it's teaching here is that if you don't use it, it's of no value to you. This is to be sustenance. It's to be food for your soul. You are to consume it, to take it in. And if you just take it and don't take it in, it's of no value. This is what we are to do as those who know Christ, as those who have been regenerated and converted and being converted. We are to take in Christ into ourselves and to be disciples. Continue every day, because we can't store up Christ to be used later. It doesn't work. We're not called camels. We're called sheep. And what do? Sheep graze all day. And again, I said it, we may not have a later. Unused manna is of no value to anyone. You can't even share it the next day. It must be consumed today. Why? Because he gave it to you to be consumed today for the nourishment of your soul. And it says they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. When the sun waxed hot, it melted. That's verse 21. I wrote down something here C.H. McIntosh said about this verse. He wrote, it was Christ yesterday, and it must be Christ today, and Christ forever. Moreover, it will not do to feed partly on Christ and partly on other things. As in the manner of life, it is Christ alone. So, in the matter of living, it is Christ alone. Walter mentioned it. By him all things consist. Gather every man, gather every morning. The manna is never ending. The bread of God, which came down from heaven, never ends. Now, this type, this manna, this physical manna, did end. It did. But this is also true. Actually, and this is also true. The bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven. But it doesn't stop there either. He giveth life to the world. And that word giveth, I looked in John, that's John 6:33. I'm not going to turn there. But that word giveth there, it is a verb. It is present, active, tense. You read that verse today, Christ is giving life to the world. Just as he did back here in Exodus. The bread of God has not stopped ever giving life to the world. And he is giving life every morning. And the one who gives life is also the one who gives the provision for life every day. He is our life. Every single day. Christ is our life, and Christ is also our living. He has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. His gospel. His gospel, glorious gospel, the gospel of God. And we are to feed on him every day. We are to gather every morning. And then there's this one little statement that says, when the sun waxed hot, it melted. You notice it says, gather every morning. It's time for a cliche now. You know, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Gather every morning. Gather early. Gather early. There's a time to gather, and that time is early, because this is your food, your sustenance for the day. Amen. The whole day. And until the next day. We are to gather, assemble, share, and eat. But we are to gather before the sun waxes hot. And I thought about this, and I was trying to think, why in the world did we do this? But it says, when it waxed hot, it melted. Well, when things get hot, you get busy. Start your day off right. Start your day off with Christ. Gather in the morning. Gather early. Why? Because the cares of this life will interfere. Circumstances do happen, and circumstances do interfere with us. That's another thing. Not only do we have the old nature, within that old nature, we have a tendency to get distracted. And you have to pay attention at your job. You have to pay attention at your work. There are some people that work with machinery, and Debbie used to get after me about it because you end up cutting your finger off. You got to pay attention. So before the sun waxes hot, before things get hot around you, before you get hot, gather in the morning. Gather early. Psalm 63 and verse 1 said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Because when you get hot and thirsty, you want a drink. But it's better to have drunk before things get hot. Some things melt away. Verse 22, and it came to pass on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seed that ye will seed. And that which is remaineth, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. They gathered twice as much one day, and it scared them. Because they had left some over, and it turned. Moses said no. And here, what we have here, in the scriptures, in Exodus chapter 16, before the law is ever given, you see the establishment of the Sabbath. The Sabbath, I want to make this perfectly clear, the Sabbath was established before the law was given. The Sabbath was established before the law was given. And it tells us exactly what the Sabbath is. It is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. What did Jesus Christ tell us of the Sabbath? And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of the rest of the holy Sabbath. I know there are people who make a great deal of the Sabbath, and they make a great deal of it wrong. Okay? Now, the Sabbath was Saturday. It is Saturday. Okay? It was Saturday. It is Saturday. Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. Sunday is the day we gather to worship and to preach and to hear the gospel. The Sabbath is the rest that the Lord gave to the people of Israel, that the Lord gave to the congregation. It's rest. It's rest. 6 days are you to gather. Seventh day, rest. And eat. You gather twice as much on Saturday, on Friday. Now you're going to eat on Saturday of what you had left over. There was no rest given to the Egyptians. There's no rest given to the rest of the world. Again, remember where we are. After being passed over, after seeing the salvation of the Lord, after being fed by the manna, after going through the Red Sea, after being fed by the manna, God provides a rest for the people of God. The Sabbath is only for those here in this type, in this picture, for those who gather manna every day. That's who the Sabbath is for. That's who it is given to. Again, very particular. And he provided that there would be no lack on the Sabbath. No lack while you rest. There's never any lack if you're resting in Christ. You'll be provided. You'll be provided for. You are provided for. And guess what? Christ is your provision. He who is Lord of the Sabbath is also the provision for the Sabbath. Hebrews states it plainly, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. We rest in Him just as we feed in Him. We rest in Him and His work that He has provided for His people. And we feed on Him while we rest. Cease from your labors. He's performed the work that the Father told Him to do. He performed the work necessary for salvation, for justification, for redemption, sanctification. Now they did lay this up, and there was no stink, neither was there any worm therein. It worked exactly the way Moses said. The Sabbath is holy, and it's made for men. There's no corruption allowed in the rest of God. It is part of the design for the children to feed on the Sabbath, to feed while they rest.
We gotta
look at it just for a second. Verse 27. After he told them not to go out and try and gather on Saturday, on the Sabbath. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day to gather, and they found none. You can tell some people to rest and they can't do it. Well, they won't do it. They won't do it. Why? I'll tell you exactly why. They hearken not to the words of Moses. They can't stand it. I've had people tell me, I got to do something. Well, here's something to do. Rest. 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 Cease from your labors. We are such rebellious creatures that we want to rest when we're supposed to work, and we want to work when we're supposed to rest.
There you go. That's right.
That's depravity. We get it exactly backwards. We want to sit down when we're supposed to walk. We want to lay down when we're supposed to run. They hearken not unto the voice of Moses. What's our problem? We hearken not to the voice of Christ. Oh, you hear it, and it goes in one ear and out the other sometimes. And I'm guilty of that as everybody else. Maybe more. That's why Earl used to talk about, I hope this doesn't become repetitious. That's what Earl used to tell. He used to say it from right here. And I never said, oh God, it was getting repetitious. No, because I need it. And I need it all the time. Because it will go in one ear and out the other. I can forget something from walking from one room to another right now. I never used to do that. But I can forget sometimes on my way home what I preached this morning. Y'all might find that hard to believe, but it ain't. It's not. It's not. Things push out what should stay in. And they wonder why we'll make the statement saying, I was depraved, I am depraved, and I'll be depraved until I awaken his likeness. Well, the reason we make that statement is because we are. The reason we preach it from this pulpit is we know we are. Rest. God has given us a rest in Christ. Cease from your labors. God has provided. And anyway, your labors are no good. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. I wrote down here, stop your fidgeting. That was something I used to get accused of by my parents. You can't sit still. Twitching. Moving. You're bored. You start pulling your pen out and you start tapping it on things. Rest means rest. It's either his work or it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's either his work that you're resting in. Complete, total, perfect salvation of the Lord. See the salvation of the Lord. If you're not resting in that, you're not resting. If you're not resting in Him, who is our salvation, you're working. If you're not resting. It don't matter what you call it. It don't matter how anybody describes it to you. If you're not fully trusting in Him and trusting just a little in you, or in something you do, you're not resting. You're not resting. And we are commanded to rest. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. Now the last thing is in Numbers 21. And I can't leave the manna without doing this. There's no way. Numbers 21 and verse 5 says this. And the people spake against Moses. No, it doesn't say that. It says the people spoke against God. And against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. And that is one of the most chilling statements in Scripture, as far as I'm concerned. When you understand, realize, the bread of God came down from heaven and giveth light to the world. Our soul loatheth this light bread. They're talking about the manna. That's what they're talking about here. The chapter starts off when they're, you know, dreaming of leeks and onions and all that stuff. That's back in 11, I think. Now, here they are saying, our soul loatheth this light bread. These are the words of the people. Not all the people, but this is not the word of strangers. These are members of the congregation. Because you see within this congregation, you see this within the congregation. They are in the congregation, but I'm going to tell you something. In this picture, in this type of Israel, here in the Old Testament, there are those that are not all of Israel. They're in the congregation, but they're not of the congregation. Because I've said it continually throughout this message, repeating his words, Jesus Christ is the manna. Now, does this mean that some loathe Christ? Yes. That's what it means. And what does that teach us? Well, I got another exercise in biblical logic. Man's nature has never changed. Man's nature, naturally, the natural man is just as fallen now as he ever was. It has never changed. Therefore, if some have loathed Christ in the past, there are some that loathe Christ now. As a matter of fact, he told us himself, there were some that loathed him while he walked on this planet. The God of glory, the Son of God, they hated him, and they hated his father. And who were they? They of his own country. They received him not. The carnal mind is enmity toward God, hates Christ, and despises his spirit. And man has not changed one lick since the days in Exodus. It's not the most pleasant subject in the world. But there are those, and we've seen it here, who have joined themselves to this congregation, to this assembly, and have left. And not only left, they left mad. And not only left mad, they're talking trash. And not only talking trash about us, they're talking trash about him. You understand?
Yeah.
Leaving the congregation is leaving Christ. Yeah, yeah. If the congregation is the congregation of God.
Right, man. That's right.
Loathing the manna is loathing Christ because he's the one that fed them.
Yeah.
And leaving the congregation, leaving the assembly of the saints of God, is a they went out from us. Why? Because they weren't not of us. They never were of us. Now they might come back. They might be of us. But as of right now, it was made manifest. It was made known. We didn't make them not of us. We didn't, you know, Moses didn't make these people loathe the manna. That was in them and it came out. We didn't make people loathe Christ, but we preached Christ and they loathed him. And they left. Turn your back on God. Go right ahead. So I said, when I'm reading this, our soul loatheth this light bread. You know, thank you for testifying, brother. But that ain't the testimony you want to give. They leave. They want something more. They want maybe something less. Or maybe they just want something else. But they don't want the manna. They don't want sheep food. They don't want the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's our Lord first before he's ever your Savior. He's the Lord first. He's always the Lord. He is the Savior, but he's not the Savior of all. But he is Lord of all. Because there's something lacking in them. The bread of God is not fulfilling to them. It doesn't sate them. He doesn't satisfy their soul. The problem's not with the manna. The problem's with the people. And the problem has always been with the people. They want something more. They'll long for the flesh pots of Egypt. I read it to Debbie this morning. Remember when we used to get fish and garlics and leeks and onions? And I remember Earl quote that all the time. Leeks, onions, and I remember the garlic. And I like garlic. I do. They'll sometimes return to the flesh pots. Or sometimes they'll just find new ones. Because what a significant term that is. There's the distinction in here in the Old Testament is between the flesh pots of Egypt and the bread from God. And if you can't see the difference there, you don't know what I'm talking about. They look back to longing, with longing, to when they sat there. By the flesh pots of Egypt. They live there and they long for that contentment in being there again, and they feel no shame in this. Our soul loatheth this like bread.
Yeah.
They don't have no shame.
Yeah, no shame.
Why? It's not only because of their desire for the flesh, it's because they do loathe the like bread.
Right. Right.
It's not fulfilling to them, it's not satisfying. It's not a good meal for them, Mason. It's not what they want, Mac. It's not what they want. And that's the question. What do you want? Excuse me. Down deep in their being, they do despite to the Lord of glory. Their very souls not only draw back from, they actually recoil. From the Son of God, from the truth as it is in Christ.
Yeah.
And they may walk for a while with us, and then they're gone. Some go away more quietly than others, but they go. Now, no type is perfect. We can never build a doctrine on a type, but when a doctrine is revealed, a type thereof may be discerned with accuracy and studied with profit. I didn't say that, somebody else did, but I like it. Israel in the Old Testament is to be seen in two ways. Just that's all I'm going to talk about, just mention. Okay? First, they are seen as the elect separated from the world by the shed blood of the Passover lamb, standing still, seeing the salvation of the Lord, which he showed them, then going through forward into the sea and being fed in the wilderness. Israel as a whole is seen as an election, as compared to the world, as compared to Egypt. But secondly, we also have to see the congregation of Israel as a whole. And by itself, it actually is a microcosm of the world within itself. I mean that not everyone of the congregation of Israel in the wilderness are the Israel of God. Okay? Earl used to call it an election within an election. The overall election of all of the congregation of Israel got out of Egypt. But then you have that election within the congregation of Israel, those that know God and those that don't. And it showed Korah's rebellion. You know what they said? We don't have to do things God's way. I can offer sacrifice. We don't need priesthood. Everybody's holy. No, you do it the way God said. There's an express purpose. And besides that, God said it. Obey. But no, we're stupid, we're rebellious, and we are depraved. But there are those that were within the congregation, you know. And there were those within the congregation like Caleb and Joshua, who trusted the Lord. They said, this is a wonderful land God gave to us when they got there. Everybody else said, oh my gosh, there's giants. I don't think that Caleb and Joshua didn't see the giants. It's just that they understood. In God, nothing else matters except what He has given you. There's no perfection outside of Christ. And none at all in and of ourselves. But in Him, we have been given all spiritual blessings. The children of God, the children of Israel, do come into and possess the promised land, just as the Lord promised and commanded. But all of them that came out of the wilderness didn't get into the promised land. We are shown here. Now, I'm not saying that the church is Israel by any stretch of the imagination. But we can see ourselves and the people we have known in this experience in the wilderness of these people. We are fed by Christ every day. And we are to feed on Christ every day. He provides sustenance for all of His children, and we rest in Him. It's His gift. It's a gift of God to be able to rest in Jesus Christ. It's an amazing gift. I get to cease from my labors. He says, if you hunger and you thirst, come. If you labor and you're heavy laden, come. What? I'll give you rest. And there remaineth a rest for the people of God. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. Thank You, Lord, for Your rest. We know there is no rest in the world. We've been there. And we see it now. They are going about to establish their own righteousness and ignore the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Help us not to do that. Give us strength to rest and feed us with Your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.